This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to another episode of the number one AFC Wimbledon podcast, The One Was Had a Dream. My name is Lee Finch. I am, once again, we'll be joined by the one and only Danny Baker. We also have a special guest on today, Wimbledon fan Tim Jacob. He'll be joining us in a bit. Danny, how are we? We good? You good?
I'm absolutely marvellous, mate. Tim, what was Ipswich like?
Were you there, Danny?
Yeah, I was there behind the goal, yeah.
So I was in the East Stand. Right near the away fans.
I'm usually in block 119, which is right by the yellow flag.
Yeah, I was 121.
Yeah, so all my mates sit on one in that section.
In that section. So
singing section.
That's the case. How's the case? I thought we did quite well. I was really surprised by the selection. Wasn't okay. You know, no Lewis.
Yeah.
I was quite surprised Sasu started. And I thought we grew into the game, definitely. Curry definitely grew into the game.
He was great, wasn't he?
He was great in the... I couldn't see him much because I was quite low down for the first half, but he was right in front of us for the second half. And he'll be a better player after playing that game.
Was good, by the way, the winger he had.
Hutchinson.
I thought that was a really, really good battle.
And he had him. It was a really good battle. But the goal we gave, I thought, well, I've watched the highlights to get a better look at the goals, and I thought the goals we gave away weren't great defending, yeah. but we had some really good chances. I suppose the big thing was Pell. What did you think of the Pell?
Lee, go on. What do you think of Pell? Clumsy, stupid. What do you think?
So going on a couple of points, I was quite annoyed. Well, not annoyed. I was... Lewis obviously didn't play, right? And he was sick, apparently, and that was the rumours. But annoys me because the night before, Johnny Jackson said we've got a full squad to choose from. Why not just say Lewis is sick? Because doing that, not having Lewis mentioned, and then him not being in the squad, just then, boom, wildfire, rumours, bang, he's gone, he's recalled. Which was going to be the case. He was meant to be getting recalled until we obviously permanently signed him. But... yeah, so I went out a bit. And also, Sasu coming in was very strange to me, considering that he couldn't get near our bench for the last few weeks. We knew Ali and Bugle were off, so why are we not playing him and giving him some minutes here before putting him on the bench in case he needed? Because I thought he was I've seen highlights and stuff, and what my friends say was like a rabbit in the headlights. He didn't look great. Do you know what I mean? He needs a loan, people were saying. He needs to get
Sasu.
On. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's really hard on that. And again, I'm not going to merge too much about Oxford because I watched the game yesterday. But it is hard when you're asking a lad to not play for ages. And then Agreed. The first game back is second in the championship.
Against, yeah.
Despite the fact that they rotated their pack, they were very, very good in many places. As Tim said, I think the big frustration for me was if we got beaten by them cutting us open with some great football, you kind of put your hand up and go fair cop. But we kind of lost on three really naive bits of defending and with obviously Pell sending off, which it's daft, but I think in Leto he might have got away with it. He might have got away with it. I'm not saying he would have done. And I think that sometimes when you're, I don't know what level the referee's at normally, but I feel like we were probably the way that League Two football is run compared to the Championship. If we had a referee from a higher league, you're going to get done all the time, because the game is definitely different, isn't it, from League Two to Championship. And I just felt that, to be honest, the one that annoyed me was the first one, because it was just, I don't know where you sat, Tim, but it was ridiculous, totally stupid. I know he probably felt they're on the break, but it was so early in the game on his halfway line. But I felt quite pleased in general. I just felt for Sasu. I felt for Davison, who worked hard, but we, again, without Ali, he struggled to make lots. And at one point, we had obviously lost Ali, Bugiel, Pell sent off, Pierce off injured, potentially Lemony Evans going, and Joe Lewis. We had at one point, within sort of 48 hours, we were six men down. But overall, quite pleased with the game. I just thought Curry and Billa were excellent. And I think them two are going to be a real handful for anyone. But I don't know what you thought, Tim.
Well, I think just going back to your bit on Pell, the laws of the game are the same.
Yeah.
I think the first one was definitely a yellow.
Yeah,
from where I had a really good view of that, and I think he was, you know, they're on the break, etc. So that was fine, but there were some other really really untidy challenges that he was putting in, and the ref talked to him a couple of times.
Oh, okay.
I saw the ref, you know, have a couple of conversations with him. So I think there was a lot of he's an untidy player.
He's got really untidy, hasn't he?
The last yellow was arms in the air like he don't care. Yeah. And it was, you've seen those given all over the place. And I just think, I think Jackson was a bit unfair. It said he wasn't very happy with the decision, but I think it was fair enough.
Yeah,
but
I can't argue too much.
What about Pierce going off and then Callum Bye coming on?
Well, I was going to say, Tim, on Pell quickly, do you think Johnny Jackson's at fault a little bit then for this by not pulling him off at half time?
No.
Do you know what I mean? Because he was going to be a second booking waiting to happen, Dan. It's Harry
Pell,
the way he plays.
At 2-1.
We had ball on the bench.
Yeah, but we needed a goal, mate. We're going forward.
I get it, but he's going to get out front. Yeah, but then he gets sent off and we're out of the game against Ipswich.
Yeah, but we know that now, but at half time.
Yeah, but you do know that if he's booked. He's already booked, though, when he goes off.
But hang on, Lee. Johnny Jackson didn't get the yellow card. Pell got the yellow card. He knows he's been playing football long enough to know what he needs to do. I think that's a bit unfair, in my opinion. We had some momentum, I thought, at the end of that first half. The first half went on. We had real momentum. And when Pell went off, I thought we had a really good spell. We had a really, really, really good spell.
I only asked a question because we did the debrief on Sunday. And I asked a question then as well. And people were saying it's like the Balotelli thing with Mourinho, when he's been booked and Mourinho says to Balotelli, do not go get a second booking, whatever you do, just stay on the pitch. I need you out there. We haven't got the players. And then within 10 minutes, boom, he takes someone out, gets a second booking, he's off. Harry Pell's not, do you know what I mean? We know once he gets a booking, first half, he is walking on eggshells, and the type of player he is, and as you said, he's already had a couple of warnings. They must have known that on the bench as well, that he's had a couple of warnings already. Next challenge, he's going to be off. And I just think sometimes we have to manage our players better. But I agree with what you're saying as well, Tim. He is a seasoned pro. He's not a young kid anymore. He's a seasoned pro, been here and there and everywhere, and he needs to calm down a bit. Talking about Pierce coming off for Callum Bailey, this is one of the big frustration I've got. People have been calling for Callum Bailey to come back in. He suffered a pretty bad injury.
He looked rusty as hell.
He's been out since 12 months, possibly more.
Potentially.
I didn't see all the Ipswich game. I saw him against Oxford, and he got put on his ass at one point against Oxford running back. And I just think he looks slow.
He looks not like he's put weight on because he's muscly anyway, but he's struggling. He looks rusty. Again, he's not someone at the moment. If Lewis had gone back, I wouldn't want to have been counting on.
I think he's probably a third or fourth centre back. He definitely came on and looked a bit rusty. To be honest, the moment Pierce started, though, I thought we were in trouble. I mean, the injury that he got, the chance that I had after, was just laughable. It was one ball over the top. Pierce was nowhere near Broadhead, nowhere near him. Guy absolutely spooned it wide. But Callum Bailey definitely looks a bit out of nick. And I would guess you've got Johnson and you've got Lewis. Callum Bailey is a backup. I don't know how long Pierce is out, to be honest with you.
Well, I think this is one of the reasons why we probably called Sutcliffe back. He's been recalled back from Tunbridge Angels, because when I see Sutcliffe previously, I thought, man, this kid can play.
And they were raving about him.
Which I know as well. I think that's maybe because everyone thought Sutcliffe was coming back because Lewis was going. I think Sutcliffe comes back now to possibly go ahead of Callum Bailey, because Callum Bailey needs, I don't know where he's going to get minutes from, but he needs to get some game time in his legs.
I mean, did you watch any of the game yesterday, Tim?
I just saw the highlights. I just saw Tilly's brace. That was it.
Do we know much about nerve feel injury?
It doesn't sound great, to be fair. The other, where Johnny Jackson said about him.
So he got injured, didn't he, at Sutton, exactly the same way he got to January and then got injured.
He doesn't sound great from what Jackson said the other day after the game. That's it. I just get annoyed. I get it with... am I being harsh on the club by not letting us know Lewis was not going to be available for Ipswich because he's ill? Some people said to me, well, if they had said he was ill, all the fans are going, oh, yeah, that one again, because we had the Assau affair before. But it just opened up a can of worms where everyone was going, well, Lewis is definitely gone. Lewis is gone. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't matter now because we all know what's happened. But, yeah, I just thought on Saturday, once that team sheet come out, it's like, boom, now we are stuck. And with the fixtures we've got coming up, we still need some more bodies. But, yeah, Nurfield doesn't sound good. I watched the game yesterday, Dan. I thought we played really
Tilly was
well.
Good, wasn't he?
Tilly looked back to the Tilly that started the season, and I think that's what he needed, and we need that. I've gutted Lemony Evans has gone back because I thought he would have played it, and I thought he's really good on that left side for us. He's been good. I thought we played all right. I didn't think much of Oxford, to be fair, but we played well. Didn't think Davison had a great game, to be fair, but we didn't really get the ball up to him. Pell played all right. I've seen loads of people saying how good Pell was, but Reeves for me is just one of the best players we've ever had at the moment, because he just dictates everything, and that's what he did against Oxford.
So what about Tilly then? Is Tilly going to step? Do you see Tilly stepping up to the left?
I'd start Tilly Saturday because he did play well against Oxford, and I think that was a good Oxford team.
Who is he going to play? So I know we'll probably come to formations that later, but if Tilly obviously comes in for Lemony Evans, you think, or really he plays on the right. So actually, he's probably playing.
I think we'll
mix and match a bit, are we?
Well, I think we'll go with Little on the, like he has done, been playing
do
on
the
right.
Three.
Yeah, I think we might have to.
So Tilly on the left of the three.
We will have a new signing in by Saturday, so it's not a big...
Are you sure about that? 100%. I mean, we're going to come to...
But
great result, though. 40 grand in the bin.
No, I was going to say about this.
The furthest we've been in the
yes,
comp? Must be the furthest.
It's the furthest we've been. And I know there's a lot of... Is it trepidation regarding this tournament?
You can say any word. None of them make any sense.
I don't know what they mean anyway. But most people don't like it because of the B teams in it. I kind of get it. I've always been behind it, to be fair, because I always think...
Oh, shut your face.
I've always
you
been behind
Christmas,
it.
You and Christmas, you have not been behind it.
I've always been behind this tournament. You were
I
joking,
don't
mate.
Believe you at all.
One, it's a day out of Wembley. And two, we can make some good money. But I read on the Wimbledon on the Grand Press site today, the WAP, someone said that the under 21 games, we don't make any money on the gate receipts. That goes to charity. If we play an under 21 team at home. But a lot of the money that we win goes to player bonuses, which I'm hoping is not true, because I worked out earlier, I think it's around about 265K you can make from winning this trophy.
Right.
We're rumoured to have paid between 100 and 150 for Lewis. That's two Lewises we could sign pretty much.
Four Finches.
Well, mate, I'm worth more than that. But I think it's a tournament that we really need to take seriously every season. And I'm because as you said, Dan, 40 grand for winning one game, and we've just bought Joe Lewis. That's big money for us at the moment. And we've got a debt to pay. The Cups this year have been quite good to us, really. Ipswich probably not the greatest draw, but we...
Round three, though.
Yep, got to round three. We've got TV money from it. I'm not a big fan of that. The Ipswich game being on broadcast across the world just to change the kickoff to half 12. I'd rather...
I don't really get as well. Of all the games, ours is probably the worst, isn't it?
Well, they did it for them. There was loads of them. It was on Paramount Plus in Australia, I think, and there was about seven or eight games you could choose from.
Well, wasn't there another thing about them changing the kickoffs because all the London teams had home?
Yeah, there was definitely a bit about that, but I would have thought to change it to 12:30 hour game sounds mental.
Because we can't moan too, but we got 40 grand out of it as well for the TV money. It was rumoured to be 40 grand. So,
and I believe the next round of the Mickey Mouse Cup is on Sky, I believe.
No, semi-final.
We are in the semi-final.
It's the quarter-final.
The South, aren't we?
That's quarter-final.
The quarter-final. Oh, right, okay.
It's the semi-final of the tournament.
Of the
Bristol Motors Group trophy, I don't know now if it's national or if it's still local.
No, it's local.
So if it's local, we can get Wickham, we can get...
Brighton, Hove Albion.
Brighton, Peterborough. Yeah. So some tough
goes southern, doesn't it? And then each final is one southern and one northern.
Yeah.
So it's like the southern winners against the northern winners in the final. Right. So basically, you can't have two northern teams.
Would you? Are you going to the final? You two?
Oh well, let's see if we get
the final.
There.
If we get there, are you team boycott? Some people boycott the whole lot. They won't go to any of the games.
I've been to one. I went to one of the rounds live. Went to the early rounds live.
On,
so
Tim.
I've been. So right, I've
Tim,
been to off. Actually see it.
Get your badge on, mate.
But that's the first time I've ever been. But of course we'd all go to Wembley. That's the whole point of it, isn't it?
No, there's some people out there who won't go. Literally won't
Well,
go.
That's good for them.
I'm very tempted to go to the next round just so I can match them.
I was tempted. The missus said no.
No, you weren't. Don't
I was tempted to go to Sheffield to watch our under-18s play in the EFL.
No, what an absolute... I'm calling lie.
No, I'm being serious. I would have done.
You're not being serious. You're talking nonsense.
But we had the podcast to record, so I couldn't.
I've got a story that if you're talking about keen people, when I was at the Ipswich game, sitting next to me were four Dutch lads, right? Oh, they'd been to Palace on the Thursday.
Oh.
They'd been to Tottenham on the Friday night. They came to us for the third round. Then they were going to Chelsea on the Saturday night. And then they were going to West Ham.
That's a good effort.
That's what I do when I go to Germany. I've just booked up my trip to Germany. I'm going to Eindhoven on the Friday. We're going to see Roda play on the Friday. And then Saturday... Roda Kirkcaldy, please. Thanks. Second division in Dutch football.
Of course, I should have, yeah.
And then we get the train to Dusseldorf and then we'll go see a game around there. And then Sunday we'll go. And I've been Dortmund last year, was brilliant. But anyway, it's not about that. It's about AFC. But yeah, I like that ground hopping. And we had Padded Seat was in the house on Saturday. The guy off Instagram, Padded Seat, have you heard of him?
No.
He's a guy who set up Instagram and YouTube channel and he goes to he started going to hospitality and showing people what hospitality football was like at Chelsea. But he'd also go to like Harrow Borough and show the different types of hospitality.
Brilliant.
And he was at Wimbledon on Saturday. He did the same thing. I think he was at Arsenal, then he went to Wimbledon, then he went to Chelsea, and then he went to somewhere else. But yeah, he does that. He goes all over the place. He's been like non-league, and he went to Vegas to do... They paid for him to go out to Vegas now. He's that big now, he gets paid to go all the hospitality. So, but yeah.
I've written that down. I'm going to watch, have a look at that.
Paddy Seat, yeah, it's on Instagram mainly. But yeah, the loss against Ipswich is what it is. I didn't expect. I did predict 3-1, Danny, so I must be moving up that table.
Oh, try and stop you.
Busman, he knows I'm coming for him.
He's coming, the bus.
He said the only thing he's going to do is he said he'll stop for me, let me on, and then kick me off once he's won it, but I ain't going to
At least you got on.
But yeah, I'm 3-1 I predicted for that one. Johnson Pike Trophy, I keep calling it. But yeah, I thought that was a good win. We move on. Draws on Friday, I believe.
All right.
Who do we want?
I'll clear the diary.
Who do we want?
Who do we get? Who have we got to choose
Wickham,
from?
It's Wickham. Brighton under 23.
No, we beat Portsmouth. It's Wickham, Brighton, or Peterborough/ Crawley.
Crawley.
So really, Crawley at home is the best one for us.
No. Brighton or under 23s.
If they're beating Reading, mate, they're going to be lively.
Reading are rubbish.
They're the only ones left, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't want anything to do with Brighton.
I like Wickham. Wickham at home. I don't want a away game. I'm not going if it is.
You're not going anyway, mate. So forget it.
No, I'll watch it on there.
It'd be good to play. I'd go for Crawley. Play them again.
Play them at home.
Crawley.
Creepy Crawley. Yeah.
I hate Crawley.
Do you want to take
a
minute?
We're better than them. Crawley thing. Yeah, we're better than them.
We are better than them. On and off the pitch. Crawley at home in the league, we've got 100 Boca Junior fans coming down for it.
Have we?
Yeah.
In kits,
I hope.
Well, I think I'm guessing they will be wearing their shirts. Yeah, 100 Boca fans. I think they've got some big day. I think they're doing a stadium tour. They're doing something.
It's an exchange.
Me and our boys are trying to get involved to try and get them to come to the pub and ditch all that stadium.
Why don't we? We should send you and your 99 mushes over to Boca and have an exchange trip.
I'm trying to get 11 day tour of Argentina all booked up. It's about £1,200. 11-day tour. You go Boca Juniors. You go to River Plate. You go to
Sarsfield.
There's a country, Uruguay. There's Video something. Montevideo.
Montevideo.
You go over to Montevideo, and you see a game in Montevideo. But yeah,
is that next to Blockbuster Video? Is it?
11-day tour. The missus said no, but I will be doing it.
I'm not surprised.
I'm doing it before I'm 45, and I'm 42 now. Looks to me one. But I'm doing it. I told her I'll do it. If I'll divorce her, and then I'll do it, and then she'll have to come back. I'm doing it. Boca Juniors is my holy grail. That is my
that's the one,
ground hopping mecca.
What's it called? A bombonella.
Bombonera, yeah.
Bombonera.
And it's blue and yellow as well, mate. What a ground. Anyway, right, that's we'll move on. We'll come back and we'll do our mid-season report of all the players and the management team. So stay tuned for that.
The Wombles had a dream podcast by the fans for the fans.
We're back and we're going to be discussing our mid. It's mid. What mid year is it? What's the word?
Mid season. That's it.
Mid season report appraisal on our management and our players. Danny, you're leading this. This is your idea. So if it's shit, it's on Danny.
So in general, let's just go in general for where we thought we were at the start of the season. All agree, improved definitely above expectations.
No,
definitely.
Not above expectations.
What do you mean definitely above expectation?
For me, we're much higher up than I was expecting. Oh, 100%.
No,
you're saying no. Don't be stupid. You were like doom and gloom at the beginning of the year.
No. I think we should be. I always thought we should be around them playoffs.
So the beginning. So we're not exceeding your expectations at the beginning of the year.
No, because I still think we're going to finish 11th or 12th.
No, but at the beginning of the year,
I thought
you said we were going to be 11th. 12, we're now 7.
I said we have to be above 14, otherwise there need to be questions answered. Right. Because
so in answer to the original question, are we playing better than what you expected we would be now?
You think we're playing better than what I expected, but the results are what I expected.
So you expected us to be 7th, even though saying that we finished 12th?
We're not, we're 8th.
Okay, so we're 8th, but you thought we finished 12th.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
But the season's
I think we're well above where we... Where
not
what
well,
I was expecting
well
us to
it,
be,
though. Not well above
I thought,
it.
I think we are comfortably in school grades, at least a couple. But let's go with you, Tim. Let's start off. Keeper Bass, solid. Where were you at with him?
I think solid. I think very much solid. I think for a keeper of his type, caliber on loan, I think he's good quality. Yeah, he's had some mistakes, but. I think a lot of keepers in League Two have had some mistakes. Yeah. I think he's. What's our top grade? Is it A star?
I think. Let's be honest. Ali is probably close to AA plus. I reckon anyone who's drifting into a C is probably looking at bench warming, and anything lower than that is see you later. So
I give Bassi an A.
An A. Wow. Yeah.
I'm A minus.
Okay.
Because I think this is a perfect loan for him. I think Sunderland will be well happy. He's staying with us till the end of the season. They're not going to recall him.
It's a good. It's a very good loan for him, isn't it?
I think it's a good loan for him. We won't be out of pipe. There's no chance of us buying him in the summer. He's worth too much. I think he'll move on to possibly, if we don't go up, he'll go to a League One team or a lower Championship team. I think he's a very, very good goalkeeper. But he has had some mistakes, Chelsea away, couple of mistakes in him that I think obviously he has improved on, like, and again, but then he's had some great saves as well, which is like the other one the other week, point blank headers and stuff like that.
Had a great one against Ipswich.
Yeah. Brilliant. that's why I still think there's still some improvement in him, and some improvement to make. That's why he can't be an A or an A plus. That's why I give him an A minus. But he's got to be in the A's category.
I can't knock him. I think the major difference for me between him and Zanev is the distribution. Even at Oxford, the way that Zanev was distributing the ball was definitely lower than Bass. I don't think Zanev's a bad shot stopper at all. But I think out of the two of them, I think Bass is just safer under the high ball. He seems much more comfortable distributing the ball under pressure. Particularly Ipswich, he absolutely gunned one straight to Curry. I was like, sheesh.
Very weird one for me, though, Bass, is that he's so quiet. Not quite on the... Do you know what I mean? Just...
Yep.
He's not that mental Ramsdale.
He's quite unassuming, isn't he?
Yeah, that's the word I was going to say, unassuming. Do you know what I mean? He's not what you expect as a mad goalkeeper. Like, we've got Ashley Bayes, who's the goalkeeping coach, who's just full-on, like, Duracell bunny the whole time. Bass is, seems quiet. Yeah, and it's just that. I think that's a good thing for a goalkeeper.
Well, he is quiet, but, you know, I put it down to being, some of that's being quite young, but going through academy and stuff. But I'd also put it down to, look who he's got in front of him most of the time.
Yeah.
I mean, there's two. I think Lewis is safely say is a character, an organiser. When I see him playing live, he's a bit of an organiser. So I don't think he necessarily needs it. And maybe they're just so well-drilled that he doesn't need to organise as much.
No, fair point.
We're kind of drifted into that then.
I'd like to see him in a shit team last year, though. See how Bass would have got on.
Bass?
Yeah.
Maybe. Well, we're drifting into centre-backs. Let's talk about our main two. Joe Lewis and Ryan Johnson. I'm with you, Lee. The more I'm seeing Ryan Johnson, the better he's getting.
Oh, I love him.
I think that he needs calmness on the ball. I think is quite outstanding for us at the minute.
He needs Lewis next to him, though. I've seen him a couple of times when Lewis ain't been there and he has had bad games. Because we get dragged back, I think when he's next to Pierce or Callum Bailey, he isn't as good or as assured as he is with Lewis there. And I think them two are such a good partnership now. I'm even seeing things as they're better than Perry and Blackwell. They're better than Robinson and Charles. This is what I'm seeing. I'm looking at it.
You can't say that.
I'm looking at him thinking, I kind of agree. They're better than Robinson and Charles.
No. Well, mate, I'm not going to argue about Robinson and Charles, but you're not going to have me on.
Perry and Blackwell, yeah, it's pushing the boat. It's bike. Pushing it a little bit. But
on your bike.
I love Robinson. He's probably my favourite AFC Wimbledon player of all time.
As a pair, Robinson and Charles against Lewis
and Johnson,
I think it's a lot closer now than it was then. I wouldn't want to pick between the two pairs.
We'll come on Lewis later with Gardner signing Lewis, but he's only 24 years old, Lewis.
Yeah.
And Johnson's only 27. We could have these two now for the next 4 or 5 years. They'll be taking us into the championship. There you go, I've said it.
Okay. I look forward to that.
What are you giving Lewis and what are you giving Johnson?
So I'm a big fan of them as a pair, and they definitely work better as a pair. But I went to the Sutton game, the away game, and it was at that game that I really, everything you've just said, Lee, really came to pass, and I just saw them working together and being really good together. And at Ipswich, it was obvious that he's not quite as assured. I mean, God, they know a lot more about football than I do, but they just didn't seem quite as assured or quite as confident in the way what was happening on the other side. So, I mean, you have to give them, I mean, I personally have to give them for their performances so far this season when they're playing as a pair. They're definitely A's for me, both of them.
Agree. Both A's for me. A plus because I still think they've got improvements to make in their game. And I don't think anyone can get an A+, because they can always improve.
Well, No one can.
It's like you can't ever score food 10 out of 10 or drink 10 out of 10 because there's always something better. There's no girls who... There's never ever a girl that's 10 out of 10 because there's always better.
You've not met my wife, mate. You've not met. Well, she's an absolute 15.
I'm not being rude, Dan. I'd definitely give her one.
My wife is a 15 out of 10.
I'd definitely give her one.
Is that... Danny, is that what you say to your pupils? Is it, I'll never give A+ out because you always get better?
I definitely don't teach maths. I'm giving a 15 out of 10, I can tell you that.
Danny, you're overlooking my joke, are you?
I'm trying to avoid it the best I can.
Tell her.
Okay, so we've got J- Johnson and Lewis as A's. I'm interested now what you're giving Callum Bye and particularly Pierce. I think Callum Bye is hard to rate, so we'll kind of move him slightly away.
Yeah.
Pierce?
A B. So much better than I thought he would be this season. I wanted him out the door in the summer. I wanted him gone. He scored a goal against Portsmouth the other day, which was vital in that game. His attitude around the place is apparently meant to be really good. I never really liked him as an off-the-pitch kind of thing with regards to his attitude. Always thought he was one of the people last year that could have been doing better off the pitch and leading players better. But by all accounts, what you see on social media and stuff, and when he scored, everyone was loving him. Lakey and all them were laughing their heads off. As I said, when he plays, I think we are slower. We go back. But you can't fault the games that he's had. I don't think he's made too many mistakes. And I just think he's been okay. I don't think I can't score him a C because I think that's harsh. So I think, and he can't go an A. So that's why for me is a B.
Tim?
Do you know what? I really don't feel like I can rate him because I'm a bit like Lee. When I have seen him play, it's been okay. I want to say he's better than he was last season, but he's not. I just haven't seen him play as much. So I'm sort of taking the fifth on this and not giving him a rating.
I think he is better than he is last season. And I think that's, again, helped that we've got better players around him. Yeah. And I think that helps with a player of his age and his quality now. He ain't going to be able to do the running and stuff, but he still wins headers. He still gets in amongst it. And I just think I can't see. He's good enough. He's better than a C, but he's not good enough for an A. So I'd say B minus.
Yeah, I think he's a C+ for me. I think he has been okay at best. I mean, he was an absolute liability, I thought, against Ipswich. And I think there's been other games where he has been a liability. If he doesn't, if he can't play two games in a week, really. And if anyone's got any kind of smarts about him, he's going to get outrun. The game, the reason why he also gets a C+, that game, Lee, where he was literally desperate to come off and they wouldn't take him off. Yeah. I can't remember which one it was in the week.
When he was holding his knees within about 15 minutes. Yeah, I can't remember the game now. We're talking about it.
So we'll agree to disagree. Let's put these three together. Billa, Hurry, Ogondir.
Do you reckon?
Let's go with Ogondir first. Tim, were you fascinated with you?
Tim, come off the fence on this one.
Ogondir, where are you at?
Well, I really like him. I'm more a Ogondir man than a Billa man personally.
Are you really?
Yeah. What? I really like him. What? It's just my opinion. I think
I think they're both really good.
Yeah, sure.
I think they're both really good. And I'm
so
putting
why
those
are you
two
more
together.
Ogondir over Billa then?
I think it's a down to his athleticism. I think he's more of it's just from an athlete perspective. Bill is probably technically better from what I've seen, in my humble opinion. But I think he does. He has got, a lot of athleticism about him. And when he's played, I've always noticed I've always thought he's had a good game, personally. But that's from the games I've seen live. I think he's done a job. And I think I think Johnny Jackson's got a nice problem to have there. I think he's got a really nice problem to have, and I think they're both really good players. And right, in
so
terms
why,
of
why do you think Curry that? Well, sorry, why do you think Billa plays over Ogondir? If you're like I said, you think because, Ogondir, what is it that you think Jackson sees that maybe you're not quite, or well, you two sort of disagree maybe on?
Johnny Jackson knows more about football than I do, probably.
I know, but it's just interesting in terms of what you.
Well, I don't see them in training. I don't see, I don't see a big part of management in football, isn't it, about taking instruction? And I know there's been Ogondir gets criticised sometimes for not being a bit wayward in his position.
Okay.
But I'm happy with Billa. I'm not crying into my pint that Billa's starting either. Don't get me wrong.
Ogondir has definitely been steady.
Our wing backs, if that's what we're going to call them, I think have been one of the big differences.
Yeah.
Not just the central defence, but the way that they've played. Yeah. And I'm more worried about losing Curry than anybody this this January because I think it'd be really difficult to replace him.
Yeah,
I'm giving them all A's, by the way.
I think what you said there, Tim, is kind of spot on regarding Ongundia. I just think Biller's just got more skill. He's better with the ball going forward. He's a better cross of the ball. I agree with you. I don't think Ongundia has let us down any time.
No, Danny
and,
I agree.
Danny and George on the pod wanted him loaned out.
Yep.
Before
definitely.
He came in
at the beginning of the year.
And I think he done really well to get a plate. And I think you're right. It's, if Biller is out or suspended or something like that, Ongundia is a good replacement to come in for him. And he's not good. But for me, I can't see how we keep Curry in January because of how good he was against Ipswich the other day. And I said this to people. There was a lot of scouts at that Ipswich game. Mick Hartford was there from Luton.
Yep.
I think that game showed, playing against Hutchinson, who's on loan from Chelsea.
He's class. He's the boy that was an Arsenal when he got under.
Yeah.
I saw it right in front of me.
Curry had him literally wrapped up all day. I just can't see how someone don't go, right, he's got a year left on his contract at Wimbledon. We're going to go in with £500,000 and go, there you go. And we can't say no to that. My opinion.
Sorry. Yeah,
this is not something I know or anything like that. It's just what I think will happen.
I when I listen to your podcast, I always have a bit of an issue with your valuations, but we'll put that to one side. I couldn't agree with you more, Lee, when we're talking about Curry. You've got to give him an A. I'm going to revise it, and I think he's pushing an A plus in the way that he's performed this season. He was really good against Hutchinson. Don't get me wrong, but he is now, as I said to you earlier, I think he's now probably a better player having played that game. But it was only just, it was touch and go.
I agree, but you've got to remember Hutchinson's come through an academy level, has played at some big clubs. Curry has come from a Sunday league level and is now, I would say, it's hard for me. I'm saying this literally only watching Wimbledon and not knowing much about the league. The best left back in league two. Right. And I can't see how someone top end of League One, bottom end of the Championship, don't go and say, I don't know what we value. And I don't know what you'd say, Tim, you say about our valuations, but £500,000 for me would be an absolute steal for Jack Curry. And as I said, he's only got a year. He's out of contract next summer.
He's going to be worth a punt, isn't he?
I think. And for me, he's an A. I think Biller's a B plus because he missed a bit of the season for injury. He can still get better. He does get silly bookings, which then leads to silly sending offs. And I think he's got massive improvement on him. And his injury record speaks for itself. For me, Ongundia is a C plus.
Okay. Do you think, last question then, we lose Curry? It's not ideal. Do you think there's a possibility that Ongundia would go over the other side?
I think Biller goes left.
Or Biller
goes
left.
Comes right.
Because I don't know I'm just trying to. I don't know if Biller can cope feet wise. On the other side. Sorry, Ongundia could cope feet-wise. He's quite right-footed, isn't he, Ongundia?
Yeah, he is.
As I recall. So, just going back to Jack Curry, though, do you think any club... So you talking about a Championship club coming in?
I think
a Championship side. So
Bristol City were in for him previously.
Yeah.
I think 500 grand for a top-quality League 2 left-back is... enough money to convince us to sell, but not expensive enough for someone to go bloody hell. I think £500,000, I think, for a Sheffield Wednesday, a QPR, a Ipswich even potentially, who are quite
Bristol
high
City.
Up. I think that is about a good compromise between someone paying us good money and it being enough of a... If he doesn't come off and they sell him for half of that, yeah, you've not lost a lot.
I also, considering Leicester are just about to pay £22 million for a player in the Championship, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
they're
going to
sign some Italian guy for £22 million.
Yeah, but Leicester are essentially a Premier League side in the
Championship. No, I get that. But
money. I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you. I fully expect Curry to be the subject of a lot of interest. Right at the beginning of the season, there was a lot written about Jack Curry.
before Ipswich, I'd have said there's no chance of him going until the end of the season. But after Ipswich and the way he played in that game against a good, good Championship side, against a good Championship coming on Premier League player, I just think teams are going to look at it and go, he's playing like that most weeks in League Two. He could play like that in a Championship. Or we could make him better as well.
I don't doubt it. I just wonder if the club would actually take a lot less at this point than 500 grand. But anyway.
I totally disagree with Danny, though, that Biller will leave because Biller's got going nowhere because of his injury record so bad. He will not pass a medical at any other club.
Your views on that, Lee, are well documented.
Thank you, Tim.
All right. And on that bombshell, let's move on to centre midfield. This is quite easy. Let's put three people in it, though. We've got Little, Reeves, and a bloke I feel quite sorry about, actually. I feel quite sorry for Ball. See, so, Little, me, Reeves, though, have been at... Let's be honest. I'll lead on this one, if you don't mind, Lee.
Of course,
hog. I feel quite sorry for Ball. Because I don't actually think he's a bad footballer at all. I think he's actually, when he's played, he's been okay. He'll be a C plus for me. I think he'll be a similar level to Pierce in terms of he's been okay, but Little and Reeves as a combo, and I think from a transformation of a single player, Little from the player that he has been weird. When we got him last year on loan, he was excellent. End of last year, I thought he was pretty average. And this year, I think he's been absolutely stunning. Just shows you, if you're playing with someone like Reeves, how good it is. But yeah, Little and Reeves, that is a fantastic combo. And the fact that they pretty much just constantly play is testament to just how good they are, I think.
Yeah, both A's and 100% Miles. If anyone don't score him an A, don't know what games they're watching. Little for me has been exceptional this year. The legs on him, he doesn't stop running. And I think that helps with the fact that he's got Reeves that sits and dictates play, means that he can move a lot. Where this ain't going to be the Alex Woodyard slagging show, because where he played with Alex Woodyard, and Alex Woodyard is no Reeves, I think that's where Little probably fell off a little bit. And he was in a bad team last year, which most people were. But Little this year, with good players around him, with Biller behind him sometimes, the defence we have now with Bass in goal, he can move around the pitch better. I do feel really sorry for Ball. And it's really weird with Ball, is we heard this stuff about Ball signing for us from Rochdale fans and fans of previous clubs, that he had a really bad attitude and stuff. I've not seen any of that. All I've seen, and one of my mates lives in Essex and comes to the odd game. His son come to a home game once, loved it, Wimbledon. Asked Christmas for a Wimbledon shirt. So they bought him a Wimbledon shirt for Christmas. He watches most of the games. He was wearing his Christmas shirt, his Wimbledon shirt on Christmas Day. Guy come up to him and said, "Oh, you're a Wimbledon fan?" He was like, "Oh, yeah," like saying he was. Ball, he's Ball's friend. He goes, "Oh, my mate plays for him." Got him a signed program, and it said, "To Charlie, up the Dons, Ball, Bally."
Oh, amazing.
Do you know what I mean? And that's all I've ever heard from Ball, is that he does all this stuff. He comes into the fan parks. And he said to my mate said, "Oh, you're not getting many minutes." And he said, "Well, how am I going to get minutes when I've got Little and Reeves in front of me?" So I think he knows you've got two players that good, Rivero and Little-O. Do you know what I mean? He's not going to get in the front. And
that
he knows
it. That is rubbish.
Yeah, that was bad. That was bad. Tim?
Well, I agree with all of that 110%. Are you not a bit worried that they play too much, though? I'm worried that they're being played a lot, all the time. When Ball plays again, I agree, I think he's pretty solid. He's not as good as those two. Reeves is like a manager on the pitch when he's seeing, just unbelievable.
Yeah, that's a really good way of putting it.
He's just unbelievable. And, you know, when I've been talking with him a lot with people who haven't seen Wimbledon play, and they always pick him out. But it worries me that they're playing so many minutes and they rarely get rotated out.
I just think you've got to trust. I'm just trusting the management team and the physios now that they know what they're doing with it. Because I read this a lot and I hear this a lot regarding how many minutes they're playing. But they still, Little's and Reeves's, what's it called? They don't drop. The levels just don't drop still.
The physical, no, it doesn't.
I think if it dropped, I'd be going, oh yeah, I agree. But Little is still up there and Reeves is still above that. And
And as I'm always reminded, they're paid a lot of money to play football as much as possible. They love doing it, all of that sort of stuff. But
the ball does the work with him, doesn't he? He's not bolting it about. No. He's not popping on the left and the right. He just gets it, gives it, always available. But he's not, you know, Little seems to cover a lot more ground.
Yeah, he's box to box. Yeah,
Reeves is a little dictator, gets it, gives it.
And he's learned, he's just fantastic. But I'm an old man. He's an old man of football, so it's more Reeves than it is Little. And I just worry that.
Tim, I think with what you said earlier regarding the players behind him as well now.
Yeah.
So where you've got Johnson and the back four, to be fair, the whole back four, and then behind that you've got Bass again. So I think that then leaves them to, like, do you know what I mean? They pass the ball back, they know it's going to be taken care of.
Yeah, and I've got a terrible memory for football. I've got an awful, awful memory for football. So, you know, in my head, I just think when Little's bad performances last season were when we were really shaky, really shaky when we were under pressure, and he just didn't have that confidence to go forward. You've got to give Reeves an A+, and I think you've got to give Little an A. And I don't know about Ball.
I can't grade Ball. Can't.
Because he isn't. I mean, how many minutes has he had? I can't even remember.
I don't think he's done anything wrong.
No.
He's definitely. And maybe I was a bit harsh because I've deliberately left out Callum Bailey, Lee Brown, who I don't think has featured a huge amount. I've kind of left them alone. One guy we are going to, though, is Pell. Because I won't lie. At the end of last year, I thought he was one of our better players.
You wanted him captain?
I'm not going to lie. I would have had him captain this year. At the beginning of the season, I was like, hell, I thought would have been captain. And I've been quite... I don't know whether I've just misread him from last year or whether he's dropped off this year or whether we've changed where he plays this year to last year. He's definitely become clumsier. He doesn't use the ball as well. And I find he's more of a nuisance player. The incessant diving has become really tedious with him. And I feel like he's definitely got something to offer in a squad. That's for sure. But I don't feel comfortable with him on the starting lineup.
I feel sorry for him. Okay. In the fact that the way we play now is totally different to what Pell can do for us. So we don't play... He hasn't got a position in this team at the moment. He can't go in for Reeves. He can't go in for Little. He won't go on any of the wings. And he's not going to play. And we've tried to play him behind the front striker, and that hasn't worked at all. So now all he's got is to come on in minutes and just rough up players and be a shithouse. Yeah. And I think they're so focused on him doing that now that they forgot the footballer inside him. And he just now goes on, and this Ipswich gets sent off. Oxford, it kind of worked. He was being a bit of a shithouse. It worked. When it works, it's good. But when it don't, everyone looks around and goes, he's awful now. He's not part of the team. And I just think that's because the way we play and the way we try to make him a number 10, which never worked, Bugle's now stepped into that perfectly. And I just don't see a position for Pell in this team. And I think at the end of the season, I think he, thank you very much. You've done really well, but off you go.
Yeah, I'd agree with all of that. I don't know about you, but I can't fault him for effort. It just seems to be not channeled in the right way, and I think that's a lot to do with the positioning that he's playing in. On the highlights that I saw for Oxford, just the brief highlights that are up online, Pell was involved in all of the highlights. One with a mistake that led to a chance, like a wayward pass, and then he distributed to Tilly to pick the ball up from the midfield. So, you know, I think I'm not sure if if it's a drop off necessarily, or if it's just, again, not being quite sure what his job is or not really understanding what his job is.
I mean, he is a great signing for another League 2 team, in my opinion.
Who play differently?
If you're in the bottom 10, he is exactly the kind of player you need. Great with the fans, will galvanise, will win your free kicks, will be that pain. I think personally, he's now just moved into that. Okay, I've got the last couple of years. I think he's probably got one decent move left where he could maybe do some badges, do a bit of mentoring, support some of the players. I think he's moved into where Pierce is probably. That he'd be like, so for instance, I know it's a bit big, but someone like Dorking would be stunning.
I mentioned Dorking on the debrief the other day. The only problem with Dorking is they're still part time, so they're not full time. So I don't know if they've got the money. The big one for me, and obviously you're going to say, oh, here he goes again. For me, at the moment, the only team he probably could, and he's local, is Southend. They've just been taken over.
Someone like Sutton, he would fit in quite nicely, I think.
He lives close to Southend. He's lived in there. I think that's a perfect move for him. Conference next year. They're looking to then push on to get promoted.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
I read from that.
He'd be a good player of the conference.
I think that'd be a great move. I think that'd be a great move for him. But
what are you grading him though? What are we grading him?
C.
C plus. I think he's him and Pierce are sort of, Pierce has been fractionally better, but I think around that. I think he's been okay. I wouldn't be surprised if he goes. I would be sad to see him go, but if we're going to move forward as a club, we're going to go without Pell. Sadly, if we're going to be happy in League Two and be competitive around at mid table, Pell stays, and I think he plays a part. But this group have pushed us and our aspirations higher than I was expecting. So for that reason, sadly, if we continue buying Lewis, keeping Johnson, Biller, Little, Reeves, Tilly, Bugiel, all of a sudden that's a decent lineup for next year. And that means that Pell, sadly, may not make it, unfortunately.
So I'd go with a C-plus as well, but there's another point here just about squad depth currently, where Pell's got, you know, he's our player at the moment. I'd put my arm around him and clap him out the door when he gets. So I think he's been a good player for us. But at the moment, I do worry about the depth across that.
I think he's a summer departure.
That's why he's...
Yeah.
I think he's a freebie in the summer, and I think from a personal perspective, I really like him as a bloke. I like him in general. I think he's a really smashing bloke, and I like him in the squad. I think he's a great. Agreed. He gets on with Davison when he was scoring goals. He seemed really buoyed it up, but for some reason, it just hasn't clicked in the way that we're trying to play this year.
He's good with the fans as well. You see him taking photos of the children and stuff. I think that's brilliant. Well, I want to go back just quickly, because I just come to a point regarding Marnie Little. We need to get him under contract as well. His contract runs out at the end of the season.
Does it?
Yeah. So that's massive for us at the moment to get that sorted. Sorry, Dan, go on.
That's right. So moving over then a bit further up, we've got three wingers really. Let's do the two main ones. So we're talking about Tilly, Nerfil. I can't do Lemony Evans because he's gone. I thought he was great. Really frustrated that we've not managed to keep hold of him. And it'll be that classic thing that if he goes and barely plays, I actually feel sorry for him, because he would have got another 6 months out of him. I think with him, with Lewis, with maybe a forward, plus keeping hold of the majority would be decent, but... So I'm not going to grade Lemony Evans. I think he'd be probably a B.
I feel sorry that he's got to go back up to Stockport.
Yeah. Well, there we are. So anyway, Tilly, Nerfil, Sasu.
So I'd like Tilly to start Nerfil, here. So please. For me, Tilly at one point would have been an A.
Yeah.
At the start of season, but his form was dropped. Since he got injured, his form was just dropped. And other than Oxford the other day, he just hasn't looked the same player that we saw at the start of the season. And as I said, he won't get back in the team with Nerfil and Lemony Evans here. And I think, for me, he's around about a B to B+.
because okay. And by the end of the season we could grade him again. At the end of the season he could be on an A, because yep. if he's what 12 goals now, which is good, it's decent, but it's because he flew at the start. He just went boom. Nerfield for me is, again, I love Nerfield. I really like him as a person. I like his attitude. But he doesn't score enough goals and he doesn't get enough assists. So for me, again, he's only going to be a B+. And well, how many goals has he got this year? One, I think it is.
Nerfield.
Yeah, I think he's only got one. I can't even remember that. I can only remember the goal in pre-season he got.
I think he's got one. I mean, Tilly's got 12 in 30, which... Yeah. For any player, that's solid. I mean, Davison would be happy with that, to be blunt. So I think Tilly, I mean, he had the penalty, but even still, I think Tilly's been a serious plus. And I know he had a bit of a dip in form, but for me, I think he gets an A-, B+. I think he's around that.
Yeah.
Nerfield, I called him as our bigger disappointment for the season, and he has been. And I don't mean that horribly, harsh. Because no, it's not. I don't think there's a bigger disappointment than Nerfield in our squad. And I mean that, and I think that he's worked hard. He runs around a lot. There's very, very limited, sadly, limited end product from him. No goal threat. And I feel like he is someone that the fact that he's injured is obviously disappointing. I think he's got the ability to come back. But if you look at his stats, he is low. And I feel like that is... I felt sorry for him at the beginning of the year because he had a Gondier who wasn't running in. But oh no, sorry, not a Gondier, Lee Brown, didn't he?
Yeah.
Curry was injured, so Lee Brown wasn't overlapping. So he gets that. I think it's quite a big second half of the season, though he's injured for a bit of it. But he is, for me, he's been one of our most disappointing players. I'm not saying he's poor. He gets a B-, I think, maybe a C+ at a push. But yeah, been disappointed with Nerfield.
Tim, what do you mean?
Nerfield?
Well, can I start with Tilly?
Please.
Because he born in Billingshurst, which is really close to where I grew up. So I've always
got
a soft spot for him. Yeah, he was fantastic in that August, September period. He just was, to use Lee's phrase, mustard. But I do... You know, I don't know. I wonder if that injury has pushed him back where he is. But he seemed to be really positive in his interview after the Oxford game, and I really hope he finds it back. And I look back before this. He had, when he was at Crawley, he had another kind of gap in his, was it an injury? But he was on the bench a lot in the second half of their season. He had like a really good start to the season last season, and then dropped off a bit in the stats for them. But I'd definitely put him in the B+ mark. Nerfield. I just think it's decision making with him for me. It's just when he's getting into the positions, a bit like Sasu against Ipswich, it was just one touch too many. It's just not quite the right thing. And how old is Nerfield?
Not much at all, I don't think.
23,
24, maybe, at a push.
I was going to say he's 21.
I mean, if he is that young, then I think he's got some room.
Shows we do our research on this podcast, don't we?
22.
So he is quite young. I think he's got a lot of potential to come up to it. He certainly hasn't been as good as I was hoping for when he was brought in. So I hope he does push on, because he's a C really at the moment. Was there not three we were talking about?
We've done Tilly and we've done Nerfield. Sasu, he's been in and out.
C.
Are we sure? Is he? What's Sasu's position?
Well, he was a striker as a youth team. He's now been moved into a winger under Jackson. Winger,
left, right.
And Jackson, for me. My opinion is that Jackson don't fancy him. That's why he's not been getting into squads. It's not because he's injured. It's not because he's not as good as Tilly, Nerfield, Lebony Evans. So he's not been near the squad. And for me, I just think he's a C. He's a young kid. I think he needs to go out on loan and get minutes playing men's football at a decent level, like a Conference South, Tunbridge Angel, something like that, and go play games and play 90 minutes every week for a little while.
He's so young.
I mean, he's literally
he's so young.
Close to being 19. He's not 19 till March.
Hmm.
So I think he's, I agree with you. I think he's the one thing that is abundantly clear, and I wonder if it worked the other way. This is probably the first sort of adult football, if you like. And I think he needs a regular passage, any standard of non-league football. And I think if he gets that, I think he'll be okay. I think he's a winger. I don't think he's a centre forward.
You don't think he's centre forward?
No, I don't. And the reason why I don't think he is just there's been parts of the Ipswich game, parts of Oxford. There's been moments where it's a one-on-one and it's like, right, go on. But when he's been the centre forward, you know, he's been the furthest person forward, I think he's kind of struggled. I actually think he's better as a crosser. I think he played all right against Ipswich. I think he did well against Coventry on the wing. I just, maybe he'll come good as a forward. Maybe that's what they're thinking, but I think he's
I was sat right behind him when he had a great chance to get through on goal to Ipswich, and he just fluffed his lines a bit. And he's so young. He definitely needs to get some men's football. I couldn't agree with you more. Why do you think Jackson's not put him out on loan? Is it just the depth in the position?
I think you're right. Yeah, we've had McLean go out on loan. Who else has gone out on loan?
Sutcliffe went out and come back.
Sutcliffe, Williams has gone and come back. I think depth at the moment, I think we'll see what's happening in January, and then maybe I think Sasu will go on loan. But I think it depends on who we bring in till the end of January.
Because we all know he's 18. In 2 years' time, he could be a completely different player. He'll look 100%. Completely different.
Which is why he goes on loan for a year and see you later. Don't even worry about it.
I did say to start the season we should send all three on loan and everyone had a go at me.
All right, do you want a certificate, do you?
Blue Peter Page.
Right, let's get to the fun bit. Bougiel, Alhamady, Davison. Let's get the good stuff out of the way. Alhamady's been great.
Aye.
Superb footballer, does a lot. Still misses plenty of chances, which is the reason why he's not an A+. But my God, that lad has been great, not just as a goal scorer, but as an assistant and as a teammate. And as a club man, by the way, he really has captivated the audience. And I think he's been a sensational player for us.
A+, obviously, for Alhamady. But talk about I think this is one of the reasons why he's not going to go in January. When you look at his stats.
Really?
When you look at his stats, compared to Davison.
Yeah.
Right? Davidson's shot on target accuracy is much better. He has less shots, a lot less shots, loads less shots, but it's a lot better. His conversion's a lot better. And now Alhamady is fantastic. He does so much more. He's got great control of the ball. That's why he gets so many shots. He gets into positions better than Josh does. He gets on the ball better than Josh does because he's got great control. He gets past players. He's fantastic. He's brilliant. But he does miss a lot of chances. And given that he's only had 12 months of scoring goals, really,
yep.
I think it's a big risk to go for a championship side to go, who want a first-choice striker and pay to go for Andy now.
I think 100% he's going to be here till the summer. I think we've already spoke to him and said, look, get 25 goals this year, make a name for yourself. Go to the Asia Cup with your country. Go do well for them because I think they've got a good chance of getting out of their group in that at least and progressing. And I think he'll stay and then we'll get $2.5 million in the summer for him. So that would be Jack Curry and him, £3 million coming into us. I think you're right. He misses a lot of chances, but he makes a lot of chances for not just him, but the players around him. I think he is an A. I know some people will be going mad going, no, he's got to be an A star. But for me, he's an A. I think Bugle is an A, A minus possibly, because I think some people really don't like Bugle. I know a couple of my mates are not big fans of his. I just think he slots into an unfamiliar role from what he's been used to. He's always played as the main striker, the guy they pumped the ball up to, and now he's playing as a number 10, and I think he's been excellent at it. And I think without him, you can see sometimes that we struggle physically to win headers and flick stuff on. For me, Davison is a C minus, bordering on D.
Davison, that low.
I'm not a big fan. I don't rate him at all. I know he scored a couple of goals this year, but he just doesn't do anything for me. Compared to Ali and Bugle.
I'm just going back to the Bugle thing. You know your mates who don't rate Bugle. Have you read that Plough Lane by Numbers blog about Bugle?
Yes, Tim's, yep.
So
I agree.
That's what he does for the team. And
I think he's the definite really unsung hero.
Yeah.
In terms of the player who surprised me the most has been Bugle this year, I think.
Yeah, no,
Davison, I think a C minus is harsh. I think he's probably in and around the Pierce marker. Works hard for the team.
What marker?
Around the Alex Pierce C plus marker.
Oh right, yeah. I thought you meant B. I was going to say.
No. I don't think he's. He's somebody that the odd game I'm okay with.
He's our most expensive player. You know that.
Well, he's not now, is he? But he was, yeah.
Well, rumours are going around that he's same money, but
no, I'm not having that. It won't be that.
But
money.
He was around about 130 grand. For Josh Davis.
Like I said, I think he does a lot of running. No one in the club can ever say he doesn't work hard. He does work hard.
I agree.
But, and again, it's hard because from a centre forward perspective, you know, he's got 10 last year, he's got 8 this year.
Yeah.
He's doing absolutely fine from an output perspective. But the goals that he scores, Hamidi's put a lot on a plate. He hasn't necessarily created goals out of nothing, which is what Hamidi does. And maybe the fact that you've got Hamidi next to him makes him look rubbish. But I think Davison is fine as a squad person in a playoff-looking team. I think if you go lower down the football league, like, you know, go to the bottom of 8, he could potentially be your main man. But he was our main man last year and we really struggled. So I think a C-plus is about right. Definitely a keeper to the summer, and in the summer there's an honest conversation that needs to be had, depending on what league we are, depending on what we want to achieve, whether he's going to be happy as well sitting on the bench, because if we get rid of Ali, we're going to bring 2 forwards and he could potentially be on the bench for quite a while.
So just picking up on the Josh Davison discussion, shall we say, we all agree that he puts heart and soul into when he's playing for the club. He runs his socks off left, right and centre. But I'll just go back to his accuracy. He scored 8 already. Yeah, it does depend on who's around you, but we've been saying that about other players in this. It does depend who's around you.
Yeah.
If he ends up with 14 goals this season,
he's had a good year.
15 goals this season, you go, that's a pretty good return. What is he, 24? He's coming into his
prime.
His pomp. I think there's more he can give in terms of his output. In League Two, he is a handful for some defences in a different way, but he does make a massive difference when they're playing together.
I think
up front makes a massive, massive difference. He's really not at his best, is he, on his own, or at the point on the point when he's just running the line on his own. I think you've got to give him a sort of a C. It's what I expected from Josh Davison this season.
Yeah,
I think he's doing slightly better than expectation for Josh Davison this season. But given where we are as a club in terms of a budget, and stuff, I think, you know.
Well, the last
could do better.
I think the last one, Lee, is just the management. I think.
Well, I was going to say before we move on, because we have been on this subject for quite a long time, but it's quite an important subject. It's quite interesting. I was going to say to you, the two we need to discuss now, really, before we move on, and we do it quickly if we can, lads, is Johnny Jackson and Craig Cope.
I'm going to break in news. I'm offering Jackson a contract.
You are, yeah?
Yeah. I think I have to. I think the fact that we've had the run that we've had now, and the fact that we've managed to keep Lewis, and the fact that Jackson comes with Cope, etc. I think I'm having to give Jackson a new gig, and congratulations to him, because he's been. I'm eating humble pie because I've been.
Very I'm enjoying it.
I've been very anti Jackson, but how can I argue with it? The fact that we've been excellent this year compared to my expectations, last year we're dead and buried. We've now done a full Lazarus. Yes, there's arguments about Craig Cope, etc., but the nature of his management has definitely improved this year in terms of subs, in terms of his acumen around formations. We've changed formations at certain times. Yeah, he's going to make mistakes, but I would like to see where Jackson can take us. I don't think he's going to take us much further than potentially playoffs. I don't see us being automatic under Jackson, but I think he gets us potentially to League One. Not sure much further, but that's all he needs to do, really. So, yeah, I think him and Cope get... Cope gets, at the moment, he hasn't put a foot wrong, really. I think he gets an A, and I think Jackson gets an A-. I think they've been great.
Tim?
So, I think one of the reasons you invited me on is because I tweeted you about your comments about Jackson before and his new contract. I'd definitely give him a new contract. The guy's 41. He's managed 130 odd games. He's learning his trade.
That is depressing. He's my age. That's horrendous.
Well, it's depressing for me. He's 10 years younger than me. When he was hired, he is learning his trade. Anyone who had an expectation that he was the finished article as a manager was, you know, needs to have adjusted that. In a season and a half, he's had a terrible half season. I think he's really growing. I echo everything you've just said, Danny. He's really growing into the role. Yeah, he's made some mistakes. I think in-game management is a real art to learn. And I think he's having to learn that as he goes along, but he's learning it, making some mistakes, but he's learning it. And I had looked this up because when we were coming on, we're going to talk about this. Who do you think's got a better win rate than him as a manager of AFC Wimbledon?
Terry Brown.
Yeah, Terry Brown has just. Terry Brown, obviously, he's managed a lot more games.
I'm so good at quizzes. It's unreal.
Yeah, he's managed a lot more games. But below him is Ardley. Below him is Downs. Not Downs. What's his name? Robbins. All the league managers, other than you know, the ones who manage us in the league. If you look at his win rate, it is decent. It's not necessarily decent.
Would you have sacked him last year, Tim?
No, I wouldn't. One of the things I hate about modern football. One of the things I hate about football is this short termism in management and coaching, because you cannot get a team purring without giving the coaching team some time. And I think there were signs in that first half of last season about how good he was as a coach. Manager of the Month, November 22, remember? Which I tweeted you about. And it was, given the January he had last season and the inexperience he had, no wonder he struggled. But he's really turned it around and put the yards into doing it. And, you know, people talk about, you know, his media interaction and all of that sort of stuff. I mean, that must be such a pain in the arse as a manager, having to do all those media things. I mean, it must be such a pain in the neck doing all of that sort of stuff. I think we need to keep hold of him, and I think he could grow with us, with this team.
So you're rating him an A, I'm guessing.
I'm rating him an A, definitely. Craig Cope, I hope he performs as well as he has done in the next 6 weeks. I sort of want to see what the next 6 weeks bring, just to really, really convince me that there's a plan there. But he's massively helped steady the ship, massively helped with the football operations side of things. And with the new MD coming in, you know, hopefully the rest of the operation will become slightly slicker than it has done in the last sort of 12 months or so. But I'd definitely give him a B+ pending the next 6 weeks.
Oh, I think that's very harsh.
Because none of us know
who's completely
responsible for what. Right? We just don't know what goes on in the background. It's a team.
Craig gives a lot of credit, and I've said this before. We don't know if Jackson's going, actually, that's the player I want.
Yeah.
Craig goes, gone and looked at him, going, actually, yeah, he's probably going to fit in the mold that we need. I'd offer Jackson a contract. I would. JJ. I'd offer JJ a contract.
Oh, you're on to JJ now, yeah?
Yeah, JJ. Offer him a contract. I definitely would. I agree. Yeah, I'm a fickle football fan. I can't help that. But I would have sacked him last season because it was awful. And I thought the football was awful. The players we had were awful. Might not have been all down to Jackson, but when you're a manager of football, it's all about results and they weren't good enough. But he has turned it around this year. We've got a much better squad this year. Craig Hope has come in. I did not the next 6 weeks worry me, Tim, so much, because I think he's already shown with regards to signing Lewis. My thing is in the summer. We'll come on to transfers in a minute, but my thing is in the summer is how we lose some of the dead wood. Pierce goes, Brown goes, Pell goes. How do we then replace them? How do we keep getting players in of this mould now, of this calibre? And that's what worries me for the summer. But for me, both of them are an A at the moment.
Well, and it also massively depends where we're going to be playing next season, you know, hopefully. Yes, hopefully. And if we're having to do playoffs and all the rest of it. But it's a you know, a hell of a job trying to pick fine players with no money to spend and all of the challenges that you have with Wimbledon in terms of finding players. So, you know, hats off to anyone who takes it on. But on balance, I would hope that somebody as competent as Craig Cope's got is starting the summer plan already. They started the summer plan already. I think it's January for me is just we've suffered so in the last 4 or 5 seasons, we've suffered so badly with poor management of the January window.
Yep.
Not to progress necessarily, but just to not go backwards would be.
Yeah, agreed.
Agreed. Totally right, agree. Lads, we're going to have to move on because we have been going on with regards to our mid-season review and the scores and whatever it was.
You've been going on a bit, to be honest.
So we'll come back. Go through quickly the transfers that have happened and any rumours or any confirmation that we know or have heard. Come back in a minute. Right, we're back and we're going to be discussing the transfers, the rumours, and a preview of the Wrexham game on Saturday. So Joe Lewis has signed a permanent deal with AFC Wimbledon. That was done, the day we recalled this, so that's been done. Lemony Evans has been recalled by Stockport, so he has gone back, which is a bit of a shame. I said last week that we have no money. We've got no money to fund it. That was true. We have no money. I want to make a quick point that someone's made on Twitter. Wombles down under.
Oh, here we go.
The Australian Wombles Supporters Club observation. If it needed a chip in from a devoted club sponsor, thank you, Sports with John. So John Green funded or part funded this deal. To get the Joe Lewis signing over the line, that indicates the level of finance is available for now for other signings. Keep that in mind. Also, I understand that we have used a bit of our summer budget to fund this deal as well, because we haven't got much in January. We haven't got any in January. So with us knowing that players are going to be out the door in the summer, that's wages saved. And I think we know we're going to be getting at least a couple of mil for Ali and Joe, Curry, possibly more. I think with the money we've made from the cups as well, the club have gone. Joe Lewis is being recalled. He was going to be getting sent back to Stockport were recalling him. They've gone, the only way you can keep him is if you pay for him and you buy him. And we've turned around and gone, shit, we want him. We were talking to Stockport anyway about buying him in the summer. Mm-hmm. That was all the discussions we were being had. So I think we've turned around and gone, we can move this, this and this around. We're still going to be short. And then John Green has come in and gone, there you go. There's the shortfall.
I wonder where that conversation has come up, though. I wonder, because obviously we must have presented it to John and gone, look, we're short. Can anyone help? To like the major
sponsors. Sort of. Yeah.
And John Green's gone, yeah, all right, I'll give you X amount. I'm fascinated as to how that plays out. If, do you know what I mean? I mean, how does it start? How do you go?
Well, as I said, I reckon
they were sponsors, we're 50 grand short. Can you help? We'd like to buy Joe Lewis. Or do you go, we're looking to, I mean, I'm just fascinated how that conversation occurs.
I reckon it's come from the fact that they were going to recall Joe Lewis. That was 100% right. Happening. He was going back to Stockport. I'm on the understanding that he wasn't very happy about being recalled. He's loving it in Wimbledon. He's loving it in Southwest London. Where would you rather live? Right.
Well, I don't know where he's living, but yeah.
Yeah, well, it's going to be better than Stockport, isn't it? So. I think he's probably gone, I don't want to go back. So they've gone, well, he's our player. If you want him, you've got to make him your player.
No, I get all this bit.
But yeah, then we've gone, I think.
But where?
Craig Cope might have been having a chat with John Green or the sponsors and gone, this is what we want to do this year, but we're 25 grand short, 30 grand short. What do we do to get money?
I think it probably, I'd imagine, I don't know, if this is what has happened, it's because it'll be the chair, it'll be the board that have got a relationship with John Green, cultivated that relationship, keep in touch with those people who, you know, have shown that they're willing to kind of consider financially injecting something for a return. But if this is the way that it has happened, I've got a couple of questions. Why would Stockport want to recall Joe Lewis but then be happy to sell him?
They signed a player from Salford for an undisclosed fee as well.
At the same time?
Yes. That literally happened the day before.
So basically our money for Lewis has given their money to buy him.
All right, that's so you had a bit of domino effect.
I think that, yeah, they Salford guy, I can't remember his name now, but they signed him on an undisclosed fee.
I know who you mean, yep.
Yeah, okay. So they probably thought, well, if we can get Joe Lewis off our books, which they're going to do in the summer, why not do it now? And then we can buy this player that we need now, kind of thing.
Do they think he's better or whatever? So they've made a judgment, whatever. We must have made some money out of these cut runs. If they've used the Samuelson coefficient in budgeting and held back, yeah, you know.
Gone then, very bottom level, yeah.
Yeah, there's the FA Cup run had some cash in it. And the
TV
Chelsea
money.
Stuff, yeah.
Rounds, the cut. You're right. If you do the Samuelson thing, which was, we're out of all the cups at the very first round, or everything away, lowest plus, down, we must be up a fair bob.
Plus, whatever we might think about the empty seats in the stadium, the numbers of paid for seats.
Don't start me off.
Done. The number of paid for seats or seats that have been paid for, you know, there's more revenue going.
We have got massive debt loan. We have got bonds to pay back.
Yeah,
got,
that's the argument.
No, I know. Yeah. We've got bonds to pay back to I get all of that at very, very, very low interest rates. That's all part of, you know, the spreadsheet.
Yeah, okay.
It's all part of the spreadsheet. Has John Green really stuck his hand in his pocket for this? Really?
That's what's on Twitter. And that's what people are saying, thank you, John. And that's what the club have tweeted today. And that's what John Green has tweeted, that he has part funded or given what we needed to fund it. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, John Green. I enjoy your books and I've always enjoyed you coming.
I agree with what Wombles Down Under has said. And it's a bit saying, it indicates the level of finances we have available in our budget right now. And this is what I said the other week and I got absolutely murdered for it because everyone said, you said we had no money and we went out and bought someone. We only went out and bought someone because John Green has part-funded it. Otherwise, we wouldn't have been able to afford that.
In my opinion, this is one of the biggest transfers we've ever had.
I was just not about to say,
about, I'm not next. Talking about. I'm not talking about actual how much it cost. For us, the statement that we've made to the fan base, to the team, to the league, that we're prepared to invest in this player at 24, prime, playing outrageously good football at the minute. I'm not. He could have a car crash in terms of his form and be rubbish. But this has been probably one of our biggest signings I can remember.
And I think even the people who are very negative regarding the club and staff, and people say that could be me. This shows ambition from the club for the first time, I think, in what, 5-6 years?
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? And it shows ambition of what we actually are trying to achieve here. We've now got Curry will go, but with Villa, Johnson and Lewis now, that is three solid defenders. We'll look at another left back coming in or something like that. But yeah, it shows ambition for us. I think that's brilliant from our point of view. And yeah, it's a major coup that we've got. And I think, again, it all shows how good Plough Lane is. It shows what a great place that is to play football now at the moment. I think Tim's right with regards to Johnny Jackson, what we said in the last part regarding him, and shows that people want to work under him. They all know Craig Cope as well from previous. So that's good as well. So it does show that we have ambition and we can get players in of a high calibre now.
It's all good. I couldn't agree with you 100%. I couldn't agree with you more. The statement of intent is the thing. And, you know, there's so much potential in this club. So much potential in this club to be able to attract players and to be, you know, without trying too hard to be more back established in League One. What about up front then?
We're going to need another forward.
Surely.
So we've
Emily Evans going back.
We've signed a striker. A striker has been signed. Right. I don't know the name of the striker. I just know we've signed one. We signed one on loan from a Premier League team. The two names I've put together, just talking to friends and talking to people. Again, this is just us putting these names together. This could be absolute bullshit.
Dominic Calvert-Lewin.
When it doesn't happen, I don't want people in my
We're going.
You
we're
told
going
me
to.
This was happening. So
put your reputation on the line,
John.
Put it on the line now.
And this could these could be announced before this podcast comes out, right? So just saying, John Kaimani Gordon has just been sent back from Cambridge to Palace. Played 14 games, scored one assist, no goals. So doesn't excite me a lot, but that is a name doing the rounds at the moment, and a lot of clubs are looking at him, I think. So that's just one. The other one is a guy called Plange.
Lewis Plange.
He was at Carlisle at the start of the season. He's at Palace as well. Meant to be Mustard, but a little bit lazy. But that's the
he's
two
the
names.
He's the Derby lad who went to Carlisle on loan.
Yeah, he's the two. They're the two names that I and a few others think could possibly be the one that we've signed. But we have signed a striker. And I think the reason why we won't announce it till Thursday or Friday is because we don't want Wrexham having a clue what's going on.
Which is probably why Johnny Jackson tells you that the squad's fully fit, not so the so the.
See, I don't buy that, Tim, because that's absolute. That no.
Why
team,
don't you buy that?
Because no team are going to look at our squad and go, "Joe Lewis is out. Let's change everything around." That ain't Ipswich would never have looked on our team on Saturday and gone, "Joe Lewis is out. Change it all around."
Well, they might not change it all around.
I agree with signings. Don't tell Wrexham we've got a signing through the door until the actual day before when we have to, because we have to do all the paperwork before then, which is unlike us not to do admin properly, but. Johnny Jackson missing the game on Saturday because of that. But with actual playing squads and fitnesses and illnesses and people like that, I think we should know what is going on.
But why do you think you should know?
Because I like to bet. And if Ali's not playing, then I've put a bet on him and he ain't playing. And also, I like to go to the game and go, "Oh, we're missing 10 first-teamers here. Now I've travelled freaking half the way across the country. I wouldn't have bloody bothered." But anyway, I still think we should know. Not because we're part owners of the club and all that bullshit that people say. I just think on the injury front, they should say, we've got Lewis is going to be a risk. He's had flu all week. I don't think any team are looking at it and going, "Oh, let's change it now. Let's go three up front because they're missing a centre-back."
JJ, if you're listening, you crack on and do what you want.
What about Lemony Evans then? Are we replacing him?
It would be nice if we could, but I think if we get Tilly's shown that we can play without Lemony Evans. I think we could get by.
I think we have to replace him because McLean's not good enough. McLean has to go out on loan again. Some of the reports from Kidderminster is just like really bad from their fans, which is really hard because I really want this kid to do well because I love that kind of story of him coming from a proper lower league, non-league team and flying. Same as the Crow, I really wanted him to do well. I think we need to replace.
I hope we do, but I think we could squeak by without.
But I see Lemony Evans. If we don't go up into League One, I think Lemony Evans comes back in the summer. He's out of contract. That's why it's so weird to me that Stockport recalled him, because their fans don't really want him there either. Which is really weird.
Can you? Sorry to. It is on the subject of loanies and moves. What's the story with Zach Robinson? I don't understand that story.
He pretty much isn't our player. I'd look at.
Is he sold? Because he came back and went back again. And
I'd look at it as he's not our player anymore. He's gone in the summer. I think he'll be sold. I don't know who to. He's not pulling trees up at Dundee. He's not doing that well at Dundee. He's not starting games at Dundee. So.
Is he their top scorer? Second top scorer?
He ain't played a lot of games recently.
Play a lot of games up there, though.
I'm talking about before that when they were. He was not even starting for him. And Will Nightingale, I can't ever see Will Nightingale coming back in a women's shirt.
No.
His race is run, I'm afraid.
But he's enjoying it up there. And I wish him all the best because Will is a good... My thing with Zach, I love Zach. I thought he'd scored loads of goals for us. I think I went on record at one point saying he'll be our top ever scorer because he'll score goals.
Yeah, you did go on a weird campaign. Yeah,
50 goals he'll score in one season.
Love affair with him.
I just thought he'd be good for it.
I don't think Jackson, Terry Skivington, like him as his attitude. I think there was a falling out and that's why he was gone. And then that's why he, I think they wanted to sell him to Dundee, but Dundee don't have the money to buy him. Weird that okay. we gave him a contract, because apparently I heard the other day that he's only on about 500 quid a week, which I can't see that, but that's he didn't have any other offer. He thought he was going to get an offer from another club, didn't materialise, and he signed with us, and then we loaned him. But I can't see him.
Well,
good luck to him. But he's, yeah, I feel like there's a forward coming in. I think
there is a forward coming in, 100%.
I do fit, in blue sky thinking, I think we need a backup fullback for Curry. Definitely, I think we, if we could, I think it's low down on the priorities, but a left back to give Curry a breather occasionally rather than it being Lee Brown, although he wasn't bad yesterday, to be fair, against Oxford. I feel like if we're going to lose Pierce, that's an area where we probably won't strengthen, but I think that might be, I suppose Brown can drift in there maybe, essentially. But we're definitely going to need a forward, and we're definitely light now. If Nurfield has got a decent injury, we're light on the wing. It just shows in it as well. Two injuries and how and mad the squad could go.
Yeah, that's. And I'm all over it. I'd love it if we could bring somebody in to replace Lemony Evans. But and I just think the money is so tight. I just think...
But like you said, all it takes is one sale and all of a sudden the money's there. And, you know, it's like late in the window, we might release Pell when we might get the money that go to someone else.
I was just about to say, all the time. We've got a really tough January in regards to fixtures and the teams we're playing. But we've also got 3 weeks till the end of the window. Mm. And I think it depends on who becomes available, who hasn't been shifted out. But as I said, 100% a striker signed will be announced possibly before this goes out. But this will go out and then hopefully it'll be announced after that. But yeah, you know, I lost a lot of credit this week, apparently, because of...
You have Wendell Shandom as... I'm going to name check.
Because...
Because
I announced that we signed players, but the club hadn't announced it, ain't my problem. I knew. Well, and people, he said, I got club officials in my pocket. I wish we had, didn't we, Dan?
You've actually dipped your hand in your pocket to buy Lewis, haven't you?
Yeah.
Does you hear this a lot about, oh, the club never announces stuff until it's done? Do you know a football club that ever announces stuff until it's actually been signed?
The problem is, Tim, I get that, and this is why we're a podcast and we're fans.
And we're just making it up.
Yeah. We all talk amongst each other and go, oh, Lewis is, do you know what I mean? The club are never going to go, yeah, the Wombles had a dreamer, right? We have signed Lewis, but we can't wait until once that paper, and someone said, until the club have announced it, it is bullshit, which is true. Yeah. It is. And I make that correct. I stand, that's 100% correct. I love the January transfer window. And I think I love everything around it. I love all the rumours. I love all the bullshit. I think it's brilliant. Some people hate it. Some people lose their mind and get really wrapped in it, thinking, oh, no, we've lost Lewis. This is the end of the world. I just think the January transfer window, I go to sleep in a yellow tie. Do you know what I mean? I love it that much. I think it is brilliant. And I can't wait till the last day of it. And I used to sit in front of CFAX getting all excited because Wimbledon were in for a player. And I love the fact that we hopefully will do business on the last game of the season, signing some rubbish player from Fulham. But I love it.
It's all part of the game.
Mm.
It's all part of the excitement for me as well.
I just think social media is a weird day nowadays. Like, as I said, we'd be sitting in a pub or we'd ring our mates and go, oh, have you seen this? We're in for this player, we're in for that player. Well, now you put on there, I'm going to put next week that we're in for Mbappe, and then watch people just lose their mind. But
well, actually, you've got Lakin have gone and Lemony Evans has gone back. I know.
Well, Williams has come in for Lakin.
Williams for Lakin, but we haven't lost any money on that.
No.
So we're probably up on the deal for Lakin. I feel like there's definitely two coming in, a forward plus one other.
A forward is coming in. It's 100% confirmed, Danny.
Heard it here first.
Heard it here first. Come on, then. Let's move on to Wrexham then. So a tricky game playing them at an interesting time.
Their home form is unreal as well.
Yeah, their away form is not so good, but their home form is
We're playing them at their ground, mate, so why do we care about their away?
And they've stopped conceding at home as much, haven't they?
Yeah, and McLean's, I hate the guy, but he's kicked on with some real form at the moment as well. Yeah. Palmer's not playing, I don't think. I saw the other day, I don't think he was even in the squad, was he?
No.
They have Dolby and Mullins back. Mullin. Yeah, but
well, is Palmer injured or just not fancied?
I don't think he's been selected.
Not sure, to be fair, but I did think that would be the case as they kicked on and went up further in the leagues. But
and also with him, his injuries, he's always been a bit light. But I can't see us winning. I'm afraid, without our Hamady, I feel like we might be a bit light.
I'll take a draw like now if they said, can you take a draw?
I'm going. So if I had to save 9 hours driving, 1-1, I'll take it now. Thanks.
I was impressed by the, we did actually make chances against Ipswich. So I'd hope that we can make some chances against, I'd expect us to make chances against Wrexham. And if we can tie up at the back, you just never know. You never know, but I think it would be.
My only worry is, as you said, Tim, we do make chances. We will make chances, but with no Ali, no Bugle, and then it's Davison and the new striker. I just worry where our goals are going to come from against a very good Wrexham defence.
100%. Couldn't agree more.
Unfortunately, I think I'm a narrow defeat. Unfortunately, and I don't really like doing that too often, but at the same time, this is the problem with this Asia Cup and particularly the lower teams. Naturally, lower teams have to market in different places and pick up quality where they can. We're a very, very diverse country of players coming from all sorts of backgrounds. You know, we've lost two players who've just all of a sudden hit their strats, you know, and we are going to massively lose out. We could lose out again in March if they go away again. It's an annoyance, but it is, I guess, what it is. So I'm going to say 2-0 we're going to lose, unfortunately.
I think we will. I think it'd be 1-1, and I think that'll be a result.
Love that.
I think it'll be a result. I think a draw would be our best result.
Wrexham 1 or 2-0, unfortunately. I just, at the moment, I just can't see where goals are coming from without Ali and Bugle. As I said,
against that good a team, definitely. I think we'll beat, but
we've signed a striker. He's hopefully been training with the put team all week. He's been with us all week because we're not having any training videos go out either, which seems very.
And they've been massively linking up with Ronan Curtis, haven't they?
Heard he's miles away fitness wise, though, unfortunately. Right.
Well, it's a shame because he would have been quite good, wouldn't he? Well. Him with Common, with Lemon.
I think his injury is very similar to Paul Kalambay's. The effects that's had on Paul Kalambay. And I think Ryan Curtis, unfortunately, is still suffering them effects of that injury. So that's why I'd love to sign him. And if we get the Ryan Curtis that was at Portsmouth, then that's a top-end League One player. But
I think I 6 months away from that at best.
I just worry that we ain't going to score goals at on Saturday, new striker coming in. We're hoping that he's going to do an alley and just hit the net and carry on straight away, but it's going to be a tough ask.
Are you both going to be there, did you say?
I'm not going. Danny, a load of my mates are going up there. They're drinking in chest. And then we've got, 1,200 Wimbledon fans?
I'm leaving at 6, I think. We're going to go down. I don't drink, so I'll be driving. Some of the other lads have a few bevvies and they'll drive us back home after.
Our fan base is unbelievable nowadays. Mm. Like back in the day when we were Premier League Wimbledon, we would never have been taking 1,200 to Wrexham. And now we're taking, like even at AFC Wimbledon, when we were talking to Tim earlier off air, when we went up there and we won 1-0 and it was pretty nasty after the game with their fans trying to attack Wimbledon fans. And we had, 400 up there at the time, I think?
There was not a lot. Christian Jolly.
Yeah, I'd say to Wimbledon fans, just stay safe. It's not the nicest place I've ever been to. We were saying that.
Well, it's changed a lot, I'm sure, in however many years, 12 years, whatever it was. But, you know, it's club's changed a lot.
A rough Welsh town. But the club's changed, but I don't know if the people have so much.
Well, what time's your flight to make a move to watch the game?
Yeah, what time are you going to watch the game, Lee? You're going to Ralph's here?
I'll be watching, I'll always watch you, mate.
Get the old fishbowl out, is it?
Fishbowl, free shots.
Elf kick. I mean, some sort of Caesar salad, is it?
Go to the pub with the English breakfast and the English horse racing on.
What, O'Malley's or Frank's?
Frank's. Better. Thanks. But love it. Will you be watching, Tim? You going to Spain or?
Yeah, I'm going to go Ibiza this weekend. That's why I can't go to Wrexham.
They're the ones who've got it. It's my birthday. 360, isn't it?
Yeah, it's my birthday on Sunday. So, yeah, bit of a schwire.
Nice.
Well, let us know, anyone out there, where you're watching it. Be interesting to see if we've got any pip going to Vegas, stag do / Bobby's bar.
Barfetch Wombles. But right, Tim, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much for coming on to the pod.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate you. Yes, very much. Danny.
Thank you, Lee. You've done a lovely job and thank you for upsetting the fan base. It was really, really appreciated.
Why, by giving them facts and then not liking it because I don't announce it myself.
You're the Hercule Poirot.
Absolute jokers. Of the podcast. And the worst one about it, I said, oh, do you even listen to the pod? Not one episode. Shut up, then.
What's he talking about?
Yeah, I know. Anyway, this has been the number one AFC Wimbledon podcast. I'm Lee Finch.
Unofficial.
We are still the only unofficial AFC Wimbledon podcast on the market.
I've always said that.
Enjoy Wrexham. I'll be back with the Sunday debrief at 8 o'clock.
With the club officials, yeah?
Yeah, all the club officials that are still not allowed to come on, I don't think. I think they're banned. Once the new MD, we might be able to talk to him and see if we can get club officials on again. But just don't call the CEO a dictator. Anyway, we are back with the Sunday debrief. Me and Danny will be back next week with the pod and another enthralling guest. But yeah, come on, you Dons.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.